Hi everybody, this is Nathan Butler. Unforeseen technical difficulties almost lost this episode of Digital Llama Radio, but I've tried to piece it together as best I can, kind of as a thank you for all the great entertainment that the Digital Llama guys have brought us, as a fond farewell to Steve, and a great congratulations to Justin on Corey's birth. So, without further ado, Digital Llama Radio, the lost episode.
TheForce.net presents...
It's the amazing Technicolor Cheese Wedge!
Digital Llama Radio.
This calls for immediate discussion!
Increase the Flash Gordon noise and put more science stuff around.
The opinions expressed in this show do not reflect the opinions of TheForce.net.
Good idea, Lord. Gold is a good idea!
And now, here are your panelists. This panel...
Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates...
Steve Palin.
The boy is dangerous. They all sense it. Why can't you?
Hey, Potter Cup.
I'm no one to be trifled with. That is all you ever need know.
And Justin Lillard.
It's not the bizarre! It's a very naughty boy!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Digital Llama Radio! Show number something or other.
We're in the happiest place on earth,
Tijuana.
Yes.
So we have returned after our month and some odd long sojourn.
Yes, many of people have emailed me saying,
and
"Where are you?
Where in the living heck is the show?" Well, Justin had a baby. I was in Rocky Horror Show. And Steve and Chris have been editing our movie.
And so, to answer your question about why we're not doing the show, we don't love you, we don't care, and we do it when we want to. So there you have it. Anyways, my name's Christopher Handel. I'm hosting again Digital Llama Radio with our compatriots, Mr. Stephen Phelan.
How's it going?
Mr. A. Paterka.
Yellow.
Miss Rebecca Paterka.
Hi, guys.
Mr. Justin Whitlock in absentia.
Hello, my name is Justin Whitlock. I love Watsy. Watsy is so cool.
Okay.
$29.95? Oh, those bastards!
And joining us live via super secret spy satellite from Evansville, Indiana, Mr. Nathan
Nasty Butler.
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Good, how's it going?
Not too bad, and we got a great connection. Welcome to the wonderful world of broadband. Anyways, yes.
Now, Chris. You and your fancy technology.
Before you say anything else, bud, you got to at least tell people Justin had a baby girl.
Yeah.
And she's beautiful.
Yeah.
And
you just did it for me.
Give the details.
And didn't we? What was her first word? I believe her first word was. like father, like daughter.
Lovely.
Did she look anything like her father?
Not a darn thing.
No, actually, she looks frighteningly like her father.
Yeah,
like
she
they
does,
make
actually.
The same facial expression.
Her name is Corey.
Yay.
Little Corey Whitlock. And
I'm told that Justin is playing Jedi Knight 2 right in front of her, so she's getting ingrained in the Star Wars culture now.
He's getting her in now.
Another fan.
He plans to dress her up like Yoda and put her in a backpack for Halloween.
Oh my gosh, she would do that.
Give me my nooker.
Okay, subjects. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We've got Broken Allegiance. We've got Nathan here, so we're going to talk about Second Strike and maybe a bit of Prelude to Hope if we can coerce some info out of him. Celebration 2. I've got an interesting paper here to read for you people. But first of all, here comes the pain. But first of all, as usual, we need to start off with Ask the Panel. No music.
We've got letters. We've got sacks and sacks of letters. Letters! You all left me behind there.
I'm sorry. We already agreed about this.
What, you want me to say?
Okay. No, the delay would just make it so screwed up.
Why did you guys ditch me?
I'm sorry.
That's
was
so unfriggin' cool.
I'm so sorry.
Honey, you know I can't sing.
Dude.
Can't
I'm not talking about you, honey. I'm
bucket.
Talking about my two other compatriots.
Well, they're losers.
Who just left me behind.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
We've got letters. We've got sacks and sacks of letters. Letters!
I feel so stupid.
I'm happy
now. Doesn't that just, like, bring you back?
okay.
Digital Llama Mailbag.
We're going to keep it short this time because we got a lot to get out. We're going right to Mr.
Like David Bowie stuff.
David Nutley over here. David Nutley would like to ask us.
The Nutmaster.
The Nutman.
Okay, David Nutley would like to ask us.
Let go of my nuts.
Bearing in mind the limitations of the internet, what do you think the maximum time of a fan film should be?
5 hours.
3.5 hours.
3.5 hours? Why is that, Abe?
Because if you, you know, watch Braveheart, you know, over the net, it's 3 hours.
But that would mean you downloaded it illegally, Abe.
Yeah. Speaking of which, episode 2 is
coming. Don't go there.
Don't see it. Ruin it. Spoil it. Spoil it.
We're not spoiling episode 2 for me or anybody, okay?
Well,
spoiler-free zone. Right.
Jango Fett is...
No!
And what, Yoda fights with a lightsaber? And
hey, dude. You're looking at a person who has no clue here.
Okay, now...
anyway, we'll move on.
To answer the question honestly, I think that...
The maximum length of a fan film should be however long our fan film is.
Yep.
1 minute longer than that.
Okay.
That's the maximum length of whatever fan film should be.
Our fan film right now... Looking about...
Probably closer to an hour.
Yeah, close to an hour right
but
now.
But by God, will it be an hour worth. Let me tell you. You will love it. You will sit glued to your computer screen.
Because we glued you there.
By God.
Okay.
Gosh.
Well,
I'm feeling
the
pressure now, guys.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I know not everybody has a cable modem. And,
exactly.
And I love my cable modem.
That's what I'm saying.
Nathan's got 56.
Yeah, some people need to get into the, the year 2000.
So thanks to the wonderful world of my cable modem, I don't really worry how long it is when I start downloading.
Well, we'll be breaking it down into sections, right?
Oh, yeah,
so
we'll be doing that.
You'll download it in sections.
We'll have to.
But we'll have one big one for people.
We will.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. For those of us that have a cable modem.
Yeah.
Don't look at me, man.
Go,
I just edit the thing.
Look, it's the formula, the full hour version. Hold on, download.
Click.
Oh, and it's done. Okay, great.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? No, now, see, if your movie sucks, well, this should be maybe, 10, 15 minutes. That way, nobody feels gypped because they wasted all that time downloading it. But if it's really, really cool, well,
like
you
ours.
Should make it as long
what
as you
what if it's
want.
Like Black the Movie? And I get a total...
We're looking at him like, huh?
We don't acknowledge that.
That one was for you fan film people out there that's been around for a while.
Oh, I remember Black.
Oh, was that the one that was just blackness?
Yeah, it was just a black screen.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, see, that's cruel.
No, it was...
It's a good song.
It was aardvarks at night in underground with no camera lights.
That's the one, Black, that's the one by the guys who did Highlander Ascension, isn't it? I mean, you got to
get it was.
It was a good series.
I don't have to give him crap.
I never saw Highlander Ascension. Should I go find this?
Yes, you should go find Highlander Ascension. It's
Highlander?
Got sort of...
Oh, it's a good story. It's got good character development to it.
It's a Highlander fan film.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Okay.
I like that.
Okay.
It can't be any worse than the actual, second, third, and fourth film, so...
Are there men in kilts? Because, if there's men in kilts...
And the various cuts of each one.
I tell you.
Last question comes from David Nutley, and this is kind of a callback thing. This one's for Abe.
Okay.
We have a new pet, and this time it's a dog. What's his name?
Balthazar.
Oh, you mean the name of the dog?
Yeah.
He wants Abe to guess it, or he wants Abe to name it?
Guess it.
He wants me to guess it. Well, because the last time I guessed, the cat's name was Othello.
And you were wrong.
So, what was the cat's name?
I can't remember right now.
Okay, your dog's name is Sparky. Why? Because you have no friggin' imagination. Because you didn't name your cat Othello. Because if you had an ounce of culture, you would have named your cat something unique and original, like Othello, so that when you got a dog, you could have named it Iago, since cats and dogs are natural enemies, and that would have been appropriate!
Oh,
wow,
my
honey.
God.
There you go. There was my rant.
Yeah, sure. And how many people do we know with a cat named Othello? Like 12?
No, one.
No, I think
one
we know
person.
More than that.
We know one person. Kale.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Why are we arguing about this?
Because
Let's
we're
move
married.
On to the
we're
next
not
question.
Arguing about this.
Yeah, David back at David Nutley's House of Lovin', and, just.
David
I'm
Nutley's
voting
House
for Balthazar.
Okay.
I like that name.
Balthazar.
For
your
the
name
of, world.
Of your dog is
Ezekiel.
Balthazar. He eats a lot of dog food, I guess. I don't know. But that should close up the old...
Ezekiel.
Do you have a guess? Guess for the dog's name. Go for it. Okay, yeah, no creativity there.
I have no
I think it should be Ezekiel.
He's an editor.
Like,
yeah, I'm like, never
grab
mind.
The bone way up in the middle of the...
We're singing
Steve
again on the radio
that.
Show. Okay, that'll close up the old CBS
mailbag. We got one letter?
I... I want to get on to other stuff. We got important stuff to talk about.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, so...
Only one letter?
So those were letters.
The two questions, though.
That was it?
At least they were on the computer
this time. The past two shows, they've been on
post-it notes.
Yeah.
You know, someday we got to get beyond this, you know, naming other people's pets questions.
I know.
Just something a little more tangible.
You remember when we first started Digital Llama Radio and people actually cared?
Yeah.
So
did we.
You know,
I don't.
They had real questions, like, so what were you guys thinking when you wrote your script? And what were you doing? You know, things that were, like, real certain. Now it's like, what's my cat's name? What's my dog's name?
That's because we don't take ourselves serious.
All my fan films seem so far away.
Ow.
Now it seems that they're all gone to Celebration 2 today.
Whatever. Let's
so
keep going. This is really
that?
Rank.
Okay. Okay.
Keep moving.
Segway. Yes. I have an article in my hand from the New York Times in which I was quoted, ladies and gentlemen, about the status of fan films in our society today.
We had to widen the doors.
H-A-N-D-E-E-P-L-E.
From Mr. C.C. Flannel.
C.C. Handle.
Okay, okay, seriously.
Of Digital Lemming Radio.
Amy. Okay. Okay.
If Justin be Digital Limey Radio.
Yeah, if Justin were here, he'd be honking. Anyways, now we got to get to a serious topic here.
Okay.
So,
right.
This is
Celebration
really serious. Celebration 2. We've talked about this before. You know how we feel. We got press about this. The Amy Harmon from the New York Times wrote an article about Star Wars fan films come tumbling back to Earth with Lucas making, you know, what he did with Celebration 2. And there was a quote, and I'm going to read this, and I'm going to respond, okay? This quote is from Mr. Jim Ward. He is the Vice President of Marketing at Lucasfilm.
Bum, bum.
Yes, very big
bum,
guy.
Bum, bum.
And he's probably, from what I understand, like the number three guy there, from what I hear. If I'm wrong, sue me. Oh, wait. Oh, that's a bad thing to say about Lucasfilm. Anyway, Jim Ward says this about fan films, and I couldn't believe what after all we've been with fan films, this is what Jim Ward had to say. Quote, "We have been very clear all along on where we draw the line. We love our fans. We want them to have fun. But if, in fact, somebody is using our characters to create a story unto itself, that's not in the spirit of what we think fandom is about. Fandom is about celebrating the story the way it is." Unquote.
So, jeez. In essence, what he's saying is that Lucasfilm would like its fans to be mindless sheep that follow whatever they dictate is Star Wars and not attempt to have any ounce of creativity or individual thought or any type of, say, creative endeavors. They want you to drink the punch. They want you to go, I love Star Wars, but I'm nothing more than a mindless drone.
With money.
That is
Don't forget the with money part.
With money. That, sir, is exactly what you and your little corporate boy attitude are saying.
And
frankly, I'm disgusted. I am ashamed at that moment in reading that to call myself a Star Wars fan.
And
I am ashamed, and you should be ashamed for saying something like that.
I can't top that. Never mind. No.
Actually, I was going to argue with my husband.
You were going to argue with him?
Yeah, because I don't...
Don't sue me.
First of all, please don't sue him. He doesn't have any money. Trust me,
you
I
You can't sue him for having an opinion.
I'm joking.
Well,
I don't completely agree with Abe. I don't think that they want us to be uncreative. The more I read, and I think I read the quote like three times until I finally got what I felt he was truly saying, they only want us to do parodies. They only want us to, you know, take their idea and maybe make it funny. That's about all they're looking at. What they're trying to keep us from doing is to cut off potential storylines and therefore keep us from making money off of something that they could potentially make a movie out of.
But
so if we make a story about what happened in between Episode 1 and Episode 2, then they can't go back and do it.
But, quote, here's what about A Question of Faith? That's like 1,000 years beforehand. What about Night Quest? You have no idea where that takes place mixed in all of this.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they can't do it.
No, wait. Hey, Night Quest we do, though.
Isn't that
before A New Hope, same time period that Prelude takes place in.
Right
I was
before
say, it said so in the article.
But
look, what this comes down to, I have to disagree with Becca on this.
We one. Argue not, constantly. It's okay.
Not because I just want to argue, but because what it comes down to is they're trying to protect copyright. That's what it is.
But by calling me a bad fan?
I know. And what I'm saying is that in no way, his comments were nothing but reprehensible and irresponsible. Not because what he should have just done was come out and be honest and say, look, we love our fans, we love what you do, but we need to protect our copyright. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to.
Okay.
It's not that...
So why...
He made the biggest mistake saying, we don't think that's what a fan should be. You have no right to say what a fan should be. You may... When I create a piece of artwork and put it out there, and people love it or hate it, I don't have the right to dictate what they feel, what they do. If someone takes that piece of artwork and goes home and is inspired by it and makes something that is their own based off of what I do, I should be flattered and I should cherish that because what I did was so important to someone and was such a huge part of their life that they spent countless hours doing nothing but making their version of my thing for no money, for no pay, for no gain whatsoever other than the sheer love of doing that, and yet you stand there and have the audacity to say they're a bad fan? Why don't you just be honest and say, we're protecting copyright? That I would respect.
Same
I
here.
I would respect you for that.
Now,
I have
is,
no
yeah,
respect.
The guy is a suit, and he's doing his job for Lucas, and he's actually doing it very well. But what needs to happen here is George needs to say, hey, look, I understand what you're doing here. You probably said something you shouldn't have said, and... you know, I don't quite agree with what
well,
you said.
Well, it reflects a total 180 of what Lucas and Lucasfilm have said about fan films in the last 3 years. They, I mean, Lucas has talked about fan films in the past. He mentioned that he saw Park Wars and he kind of liked it. Yeah. You know, Park Wars and all these other fan films, I mean, Park Wars is harmless to Lucasfilm and the copyright. No one's going to assume that George Lucas had anything to do with
frankly,
that.
Frankly, here's the thing. Every single fan film that's out there is harmless to Lucas and a copyright. Nobody's making any money off of these. Mm-hmm. No one who goes to the Force.net thinks in any way, shape, or form that Lucasfilm made one of these films.
No.
They know it's all fans. It's suits being paranoid about a copyright infringement that they shouldn't even worry about.
Yeah.
Well,
and
the thing about the harm argument, though, it...
Yeah, keep going.
The harm argument, it's like, what are they saying, what are they thinking about us as fans if they're thinking that we're going to just go in there, we're going to download a film, a fan film, some of which are great, but some of which are pretty crappy, and think, oh, well, this is Star Wars. How much intelligence are they crediting us with that they believe that we are going to do that?
I have no idea. And the one thing that I take away from all of this, after reading the whole article... and looking at what Lucasfilm has done here in the past 6 months, the one thing I have to look at all this is Lucas and Lucasfilm and everything have taken fan films, which have never been anything with them. I mean, it's always a separate thing. Fan films are supposed to be a message to Lucasfilms. And it's always been a love story. You know, we love Star Wars. This is how much we love Star Wars, that we would put our passion and our creativity and our money
and
our resources
and our resources
to show just how much we love Star Wars.
I mean, let's do a quick reality check. You know, while you may sit on the mountain in the ranch and have billions and billions of dollars, or millions at least, you know, I make 20 grand a year.
We're fighting to pay bills.
You know, I fight to make
school,
a car payment, and yet I love Star Wars so much that I spent 4 months of my life working on a fan film that's not going to get me dick.
And I've spent 13 months.
Except for the sheer enjoyment because I love Star Wars so much, you know?
Now, here's what they've done now.
And your copyright.
Not only have they turned it into something that they're making money off of, by making Adam Films a part of the official fan film network. They have now made it a part of Celebration 2, which is a huge moneymaker for them. They've pulled in tons of publicity for themselves. I mean, they're in the New York Times for this because, I mean, this is an obvious controversy by shutting out all the rest of these. And now they're going to give a George Lucas Award. George Lucas standing there, thumbs up, big smile, you know, next to the winner, saying, look how much we support fan films. B.S.
And I'm just waiting for the interview with the guy who wins, because they're going to edit out anything negative he said, even if he would say anything negative, or her, I should point out, because, hey, they just won.
They just won $5,000. That's the voter. The voters, they get the winner. And not to mention, now the fact they're on Adam Films, they get a percentage of any profits that Adam Films make based on the number of hits they get.
Yeah.
So, you know, I look at this, and I'm just like, this is so not what Fan Films is about. If you're, and I'm going to quote myself from the New York Times, if you're going to honor Fan Films, do it right. And this is nothing more than wrong. Now,
or,
I got to throw in.
If you're not going to honor everybody, then be honest about it.
Yeah.
This is all I care, because right now my biggest issue is not that they're making money off it. They're a corporation.
It's their job.
That's their job. Lucas needs to make money. That's his job. He pays every single one of those people to do nothing but make him money. That's fine. I don't care. Go forth and make your money. I'd love to have your money. And if I did, and if I was in your position, I'd be doing the same thing. But my thing is, be honest about it. Don't lie to us. Don't do this crap about
the,
you know,
official.
Well, we don't feel that that's appropriate. We want to make money. We need to protect our copyright. Do what you're doing, but don't push the line, because we got to protect what's ours.
Now,
you know, hey, I totally respect that, and I understand.
Okay, now, the one thing, I have no disrespect for the people that made films for this. I totally am rooting for the people that made this, and I hope that some lucky guy... there's a couple films that I am particularly rooting for. Star Wars Project, Silent But Deadly, I think, was on the list of the ones I really liked. And I hope that they win and not some really crappy one like Luke Flips Out or something like
but
that.
At the same time, because of everything that's been put up, I mean, there's a lot of movies that will be overlooked.
There's a lot of movies really that deserve movies, to be
a lot
there.
Of potential, a lot of talent.
I can think of one really good movie.
What movie would that be?
Oh, gee, the other one we're going to review?
Yeah, we're going to review another one.
Yeah. Wink.
Okay.
So we're gonna get off our soapbox and we're gonna let it go, you know. And I guess our summing up,
Jim Ward.
Our big thing
for
was
for a split
totally
second, you were a moron.
Yeah, totally irresponsible statement.
Be nicer to your fans.
You know, yes. We're the people that go see your movie, man. Mess with us, and you're gonna have issues.
And if we're not in what the spirit of what fandom was about, why didn't you shut us down 3 years ago?
You know,
that's one thing I gotta say.
Remember,
well, and ultimately, since the whole thing, if you're so worried about copyright infringement, you know, let's go back and look at the original Star Wars.
Okay. Oh, sorry, I'm laughing at that.
Where did those ideas come
let's
from?
Let's see, Three Men in Hidden Fortress.
I wonder where all the archetypical imagery and storyline might have come from.
Joseph Campbell.
I don't know. Previous literary works, previous films or plays, or archetypical stories, or things that have gone through our society.
Archetypical is such a great
and
word.
And no one said anything about copyright infringement when we took the story of a young man who struggles against adversity to ultimately come out, you know, after a spiritual journey to make it out on top, because, you know, that's such a frickin' original idea. So maybe we should stop being so critical about worrying about people taking other people's ideas.
You know what? I just felt us getting shut down right there.
Well, we're not going to ever get a grant from Lucas anymore, but, you know, at least we spoke our mind and said, hey, you know.
You're doing serious meditation on the ride home, or you are not going to fall asleep tonight. You know, that's all I have to
quit
say.
Quit being hypocritical. That's my big thing.
Okay. You know. So we got it out of our system.
If I can take us out of this, if I can take us
go
out.
Go right ahead. Yeah. Yeah.
Swing it.
Bah. Bah. I am the ideal Star Wars fan. Next.
How much did you spend at the Toys R Us Midnight Madness, Nathan?
I actually didn't spend anything. I did spend like $90 at Barnes & Noble when the books came out, though.
No toys.
Nope. The only toy I'm going for is that George Sukal. Ian Bowie, one of our Second Strike guys, is going to bring back to me from Celebration 2. That should be sweet. Very
sweet. Oh, cool. Speaking of Second Strike and other things like that, let's get on to other projects and stuff like that. That's where I got you here. Nathan.
Yes.
What's going on?
Well, he's got an audio drama that I'm actually getting to help with, and we're going to talk about it a bit. But
Help is about a drastic understatement, given all the work that Chris has been putting in on this thing.
I'm not going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about you. Yeah. Well, first of all, because I got you here, Prelude to Hope, when's it coming out?
That I couldn't tell you. We're still working on it. We've got the final cut pretty much ready to go, but we're waiting on music. We've got Dennis Kuhn, or Khan, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, working on music right now, doing a really, really good job. Other than that, once we get it, we just lay down the music to it and everything, but with Devin and the Marines, it gets tricky. But it is coming. It is definitely coming.
Okay, good enough answer for me. Anyways, Second Strike, where did this come from? Now, I've heard you talk to me about the fact that a lot of... Actually, one of the questions I've been getting about Second Strike and a lot of that is, why is this an audio drama? Why are you bothering to make something, you know, all these fan films and everything, you can have the glitzy effects and everything. And we know now, looking at Broken Allegiance, which we'll talk about in a second, you know, we know effects like that are possible, you know? Why do an audio drama?
It's cheap, it's quick.
Okay. I wouldn't say about the quick part.
Oh, it's much quicker than making a movie.
It harkens back to the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. The fabulous Shadow and other radio dramas.
You know,
before celluloid was even a glint in storytellers' eyes.
Asking that question is the same to me as asking, why write a book when you could make a movie?
Exactly.
Okay. Interesting.
You
interesting
are
theory.
Such a snob, movie boy.
What?
I'm just teasing.
Snob. I just said exactly. I agreed with you.
Yeah, honey, he agreed with you.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were saying, yeah, exactly, movies are better.
No.
Okay, she takes back her slap then.
What I'm saying is that, I mean, there are a lot of...
Unslapped.
The Godfather is a perfect example of that. Movie is a great movie. I saw the movie before I read the book. And you just kind of you know, take the life and the society that they have in that movie the way it as it is, you know, at face value. Whereas in the book, you actually read about it and behind it and, like, all the codes in it and, like, everything that
you
everything stands
for.
You
actually saw that movie?
Oh, are you kidding?
And both sequels. Whoa, man.
So
I'm a fan.
It's just absolutely incredible.
So now I have
and
a question.
I mean, it's like
it.
I actually read the novel. I'm like, dude, I wish I lived in this kind of life. You know, these guys make sense, you know.
I'd like to
All
ask
their
a
violence
question.
Has a reason. Go ahead.
I'd like to ask a question about the radio drama.
Yeah, let's get back to that.
What's the
Should I answer
what's
the first
the,
question first or what?
No, yeah. we've already passed the first one, big time.
You can answer the first one with the second one.
Come on, you got to keep up here. This is how it works at Digital Llama. So the name of the Imperial officer at the beginning who is smacking around the chick. I'm trying to remember her name. That's the part that I heard. That
Kristara.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
okay.
Our warlord, Aerilis Daran.
Yes, the one that's nice played name. By...
Clay Kronk. Clay Kronk, he won't return my phone calls. He's disappeared off the face of the earth.
Which,
Clay, where are you?
It's funny because Clay sounds kind of like...
I think he's working on another film.
Wow, that's typical of Clay.
Dichotomy being made sometime.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know.
Okay. Keep talking. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I'm trying to remember. He sounds like an act... Ralph Fiennes. When I listen to him, he reminds me of Ralph Fiennes when I listen to him on the radio drama. But he seems to be this really oversexed character. It's like, smack, smack. And I noticed that it's kind of a theme throughout fan films. I kind of noticed this, that whenever there happens to be a female around, like, everybody becomes massively oversexed. And it's like, you know, like, even in Broken Allegiance, which we're going to see, you know, like, the random schmuck boy Imperial officer who shows up for one scene is like, yes, stroke. You know, I believe that Lord Vader has excellent plans for you. Like, Lord Vader even has a sex drive anymore, because he's more machine than man, but now he has plans.
Now, you know, they say stroke. The ladies like that he's more a machine
I
now.
Tell
than
you.
So
I just wondered,
Becca, your thoughts?
All I was thinking of was that Lieutenant Commander Data scene where he says he's fully functional.
I am fully functional.
So I was wondering if that was something that you had written in or if that was just Clay doing his own little...
No, that was in the script. I remember that much.
Let the boy answer.
Abe, did your wife just call me boy?
Like I said, let the boy answer.
Yeah, she's older than
me. Was always meant to have part of sort of a sexual predator or a more violent side to him. That was part of where the character came from. It's just one of those themes that go throughout of his sensuality and that sort of thing on many different levels. So Clay just did a really good job at it, I think.
Okay, cool. He just did really, really well.
He was just like so intense into it, you're like... Oh, Mike,
I'm dark, God. I'm evil, I'm a sexual predator, and I have bad hygiene.
Yeah, his camera really wanted him after that scene.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. You know.
So, I remember this was originally a film, fan film script.
Yeah, it was.
And
it wound up not panning out from
no,
time
some,
and everything.
Well, I guess that limitations had a lot to do with why the script did not get made in a film version? Well,
the script came out, I was having some tough times, and I decided to use writing to basically get through it. But we decided we were going to make this film as sort of the next film we were going to do after Prelude to Hope, because we actually did think that Prelude was going to be out after we put out that whole, you know, sooner than you think trailer. It wound up not going through, and instead of letting it die, after a while when we knew for sure we weren't going to be able to make it, Chris Newsom and I decided we were going to make it into an audio drama, and I thought it was great, because I always try to write for the characters, and I thought this would be a great time to let a story get conveyed by just the characters. You know, I mean...
Oh, sure. Being the sound editor, yeah. Only the characters. Yeah, right.
Well, not just the characters, but primarily the characters and the sound effects.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
Hey, my intro ruled.
Yeah.
Have you heard that?
Yes, yes, it rocked.
Yeah,
very much.
The only part I got to do in the whole thing.
We're being so self...
bitter. We're self-centered tonight.
Yeah,
you know,
we keep mentioning stuff that we're involved in.
It's all about us.
Let's talk about something that we're not associated with, and let's move on to, like...
What, you mean, like, Celebration 2?
Oh.
Oh, bah,
bah. Oh, my.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, we're laughing at our own jokes.
Remember what in our trailer, an Adam Films logo will not be seen anywhere on my film.
See, now we need to put a sheep in the Digital Lama Radio, or in our icon. Meh.
Now we have sheep.
Digital Llama, shearing sheep since
19... Oh, honey.
Oh, God. Okay, Broken Allegiance. Let's go. The biggest release since Night Quest. Some would say best release ever from a lot of things that we've been hearing about it. And I got to start, the effects in this movie are mind-blowing. The H. Gibbons, who was on the effects team, did a wonderful job with everything. And I got to say, I you know what? I'm really big on the effects and everything and the detail put into it. And I was almost not looking at the ships, and the movement was really good. A lot of people don't look at the movement as much as the graphics themselves, but that planet in the background during the opening scene was detailed to a fault.
You can see under the clouds.
The
you
rendering
can see
time.
Under the clouds, you know?
Yeah, the rendering time has got to be days, okay? That was my first inkling into this. That was really good. The acting, very good for a fan film. Very, very pumped about it. They did the American accents because they all had different accents, is what I'm told, and they pulled it off fairly well, except for the word Bethawi. But you know what? We'll let that slide because
Bethawi.
Yeah,
Bethawi.
Because you know what? I'm gonna marry her someday, so you know what? You know, I won't pick her on her about that.
Yeah, whatever.
Niobe,
have you said
if
more?
You're listening, this is Steve. Run. Run
have you
far.
Ever met Chris?
Run really, Boy. Really,
she's
really
she's on
hard.
The other side of the world. If she runs anywhere, she's going to be closer. So,
have you sent her a new marriage proposal?
No, not yet.
What,
I'm
number
12? I'm on my 17th draft right now. What?
Yeah, he's still trying to...
Yeah, it's on.
I can't hear myself. I was going to say he's still working on trying to find somebody who'll digitally render his photograph so he looks a little better.
Oh.
Sorry, honey. Had
that
to
was
do
harsh.
You think if I hire the guys from Broken Allegiance, she'll know about it before it?
Yeah probably.
Oh, okay, damn. Anyways.
And Antonio Banderas was cool.
Yeah, Antonio Banderas is very cool.
Yeah, he did really well. Yeah. Amazing work.
I think he did better work in Desperado, but I was really impressed by what he did with, you know, a totally different turn.
You know, and I was amazed that Niobe was able to stay so focused and restrained, especially during the kissing scene, you know.
Yes, because they,
you know.
Oh, I can't say
I mean,
anything.
That was Antonio Banderas, you know, and I don't know how she,
you know, how held off, you know. But anyways, let's turn.
What?
That's
like a Russian-Australian accent.
Like the Australians.
He like the Australians.
He like the Australians. Tutto bene.
You know, but don't we all? I mean, frankly.
Antonio Banderas isn't Italian.
He's not.
I'm sorry. Antonio's not Italian.
We
okay.
Know that.
Okay. Anyways,
you're
I want to
ruin the mood, Chris, like you always do.
Oh, jeez. Abe.
No wonder she doesn't want to marry you.
But I'm pumped.
Yeah, keep going.
No,
you had a point.
Abe, I want to get Abe's thoughts. Abe and I were talking about the fight choreography earlier and stuff like that. And I want to get Abe's thoughts on that, him being the fight choreographer, as we always do for every fan film with lightsaber duels.
Talk.
We do that? Oh, okay. Lightsaber choreography. I liked the things that I liked about it, I'm forgetting the choreographer's name now.
There was Frankie Chan and
Bob.
The guy that did the documentary. It was I can't remember what his
Frankie
name was.
Frankie Chan was in that, but the other guy, the big guy.
Well, I'm talking the big guy, the choreographer.
Bob. Yeah.
The actual choreographer. One of the things that I liked about it is that he started to push the envelope, and I guess I'm so big on this because we do it a massive amount in our movie, in the formula. But he started, you know, there was punching, there was kicking, there was more than just swinging the sabers at each other. You know, I have to give him props for the hardest scenes to choreograph are the ones where it's three people fighting. And this movie does pretty well on that. The reason it's so hard to choreograph three people fighting at the same time is because it's always two people on one. And I'd actually really like to choreograph a scene where all three are ready to kick each other's butts and it's every man for himself.
It's like Clint Eastwood with
swords.
Yeah,
kind of thing. But, so whenever you have two ganging up on one...
He's hilarious.
This is all sounding really bad. But whenever you have...
I was enjoying it.
Two sword fighters...
Use the force.
Who are ganging up on one, the problem arises in that how do you... It's all a timing issue. How do you make it look like this one person is actually able to fend off two individuals when really they should easily be able to overpower... You know, a single person.
Because it always works the same, doesn't it, honey? They kick one person
down
the hill.
Yeah, one person
off
goes
side.
Flying off, you fight the other, you knock their blade away, you fight the other. It's tough to do. And Broken Allegiance did it pretty well. Pretty well. I was pretty impressed with it. Saying it's probably the hardest thing to choreograph. You know, even episode one got away with doing it because 9 times out of 10, you only saw a couple swings, and then, you know, Obi-Wan gets kicked off a platform, you know, so...
10 stories!
So, you know, Sith Boy really didn't have to do a whole lot of fighting the two of them together. He usually kicked Obi-Wan off somewhere, and, you know...
What are you doing here? What are you still doing here?
Not your kid, Pam, you know? He fights... So I think that the choreographer did pretty well with Broken Allegiance for making, you know, for working that difficult aspect of a fight scene, just getting, you know, one person to successfully and realistically be able to fend off two. Probably the only critique that I would have is that the attacks looked a little slow, and... I never want to encourage anybody to actually speed up film footage, because then it just looks unrealistic. Not all of them, but some of the movements, you know, were just a little too slow to me, and they didn't have that feel of, you know, I could lop you in half. It was more of, you know, here's where the blades need to meet. And that is the toughest thing. I mean, that's the acting thing, and that's the toughest thing to achieve, you know. So it's only, I think I only critique it because I've been doing this for so long, and so I tear everything down to the tiniest, you know, parts. I mean, the regular person who watches this film is like, it was cool, what a great scene, you know. And, you know, it was very enjoyable. When I watched it the second and third time, you know, that's when I started to really look at the fight and go, okay, you know, what works, what doesn't work, what looks really good, and what could use a little improvement. And really, speed only comes with time, you know. Speed only comes with being able to, you know, get used to it. And it took us forever.
Oh, geez.
You know,
it took us months.
I mean, I just, you know, one sequence that has, we just got it edited. That's
13
got,
strikes or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, 13 or 14 strikes that takes place over a 6-second period.
Are we talking about the Force fight?
Yeah,
we're talking about
the Matrix fight. You know, the Matrix fight where there's like 13 or... Actually, it's 18. 18 moves that have to happen in a 6 or 7 second time period.
That looks great.
You know, it took months to get it to work. You know, months of just nothing but drilling and drilling and drilling that fight. So I thought that the fight scenes were very cool. I liked them a lot. My only critique would have been that just faster movement. Which is hard to achieve.
I thought they did a really good job.
And I'm not saying that they didn't. I just, he asked my opinion, and it's from the choreography point of view.
I know, I was just adding.
I really liked it, and I just, the only thing I would have improved is just a little bit, you know, faster, and there's nothing that can be done with that other than, you know, time.
15
I'm
strikes.
Like, Christopher Hanel, you are such a geek. You're counting.
But for actual, the
one, two, three, am I a geek now? What?
Yes.
But the actual choreography I really enjoyed. I liked how it moved. I loved the fact that they threw in punches and kicks, and that's what it should be. It really was starting to push that envelope of of vicious, and that's what I like to see in a fight scene. You know, just whacking lightsabers together gets old after a while, but when a fight really becomes vicious, and especially since it's three bad guys fighting each other, you know. And I loved it when he just force lightning his
ball.
I was just like, yeah!
Yeah! Get him!
Get him!
At that point, it was like, screw the lightsaber.
Force lightning rules.
And you know what? You never get to see a Jedi do that, because this is the one time you got to see a Sith. You know, it's a Sith! So they really get to let loose. I'm pissed, and he's going down.
After he like decked Niobe.
Yeah, he at the time he shot Niobe.
And Antonio's like, no! And that was really cool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
So I give
Broken Legion thumbs up.
And I loved the movie.
Can we talk about the plot?
The plot? Yeah, we can talk about
holy crap, there's a plot?
I like the plot. The fact that they stayed so close to the continuity was great for me.
Oh, yeah. Nathan Butler, our resident timeline expert over here.
That's right. Star Wars timeline gold since 1997.
He'd
be in the room.
No, the first official continuity book they ever made under Bantam was Heir to the Empire by Tim Zahn, and they used that exact same trick with the proton torpedoes and the tractor beams and everything. It was great to actually see someone take it out of the books and use it on film. I liked it.
Now
Hey,
you know what? I talked to Nick. He'd never heard of it being used in another reference before. Total coincidence.
Seriously?
Yeah, he'd never heard
of
it.
That's awesome.
They just wrote it that way.
Becca and I really
like
great
minds
think
alike,
right? Yeah, I was
going to
say.
Yeah, I guess.
So we thought that was cool. I'll let you take that.
I just, halfway through it, I was like, oh my gosh, it's a love story. Abraham actually didn't get to see it first.
He had to go to rehearsal.
Hey. So he comes home and I'm
Abraham?
Like...
Yeah, that's my name.
You're Abraham from now on, Sparky.
Yeah, he's my Abraham.
Yeah, that works.
There you go.
Well, you're Nasty Butler, so I guess it's Abraham.
Yeah,
so.
That's fair.
And I believe I'm Mrs. P. Is that right?
Yeah, Mrs. P. And
but I liked the love story aspect.
Yeah.
It was very cool.
I could not believe it was a love story.
Because you
I
don't see
adored
that.
That.
Yeah, you don't see that a lot in a fan film. You know,
I think people.
Yeah, you don't expect, and people shy away from it. And I would have liked to have actually seen more. I'd have liked to know more about their background and more about their history. Because I'm a sap at heart. I mean, like Notting Hill. I love that movie.
I go see girls. That is a guy chick flick. That's a guy chick flick.
I'm all over
chick
flicks. And this was like a Star Wars
chick
flick. It was so cool.
Yeah. What
would you say? Probably Second Strike. I'd say that's got kind of a romantic twist to it, right?
What the hell?
Kind of a chickish thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the guys are going to be crying at the end of it, yeah.
Yeah, Abe will be crying in Becca's arms. He'll be cute, you know?
Yeah, Abe will cry, I'm sure.
Oh, I love a sad story. That's sweet.
Yeah, this ain't your grandpappy Star Wars.
But it's got to have a happy ending.
Yeah, it is a good ending.
I'm a girl. I want
a happy
ending.
You know,
in
the little montage where she's talking about their memories and you see the two of them playing basketball and they stuff the
oh my god!
And Billy died.
Oh my god! What was that movie again?
Night Quest.
When she's got the
no.
We talked about it in a previous Digital Llama. We wanted that scene in Night Quest at the end where she's like at the gravestones and she's remembering them. We wanted to see scenes of like through the playing basketball, and, like you know, she and the Jedi Master laughing while her younger brother does dishes. Yeah. And
They
don't use dishes.
Night Quest, the end of Legacy of a Jedi. Good job.
Oh. No, that'd be Mentos.
But I have to say,
that makes it all better.
Yeah.
Well, poor Steve hasn't gotten to watch the entire movie.
Yeah, he's struggling.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. It's just like all of a sudden I'm looking here on Chris's computer right before we're about to go online and do the show, and then I'm just like, can I watch? He's like, yeah, sure. Get to like a fourth of it. Oh, Butler's coming in really well. Let's start. I'm like, okay.
He hasn't
so
even
what I
gotten...
do have to say is the spaceship stuff looks really awesome. there's a little bit of dialogue in there from what I can tell. They talk a lot about the ships and stuff, and like there's a lot
of explosions.
He hasn't even gotten to Bethowie.
It looks cool.
Yeah, he didn't get to Bethowie.
No,
didn't
I didn't
get to the tractor beam yet.
Well, I'm sorry. You got a grown woman, Aussie accent, beautiful woman, saying Bathawi. She's lapsing into baby talk. I mean, how
so now, here's
that?
A question. Now that we're on this subject of Niobe. By the way, Niobe, everybody in the cast, you guys rocked.
Yeah.
Oh,
such
yeah.
A very cool,
cool.
Movie.
I
you know,
loved the...
Did
the
you know that he started... They started pre-production the same time we did?
Yeah, well, they're cooler than us, and they have more
doesn't
money.
Doesn't that make you feel...
No, we hate them.
They only spent $5,000 on this.
We hate them.
And that's mostly catering. Everything else came from favors from people.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Well, we don't have the favors.
Hadrian eats a lot, I guess.
But, hey, he's a big bounty hunter.
Yeah, I
he's got to fuel the fire, man.
I'm telling you, I loved him.
Yeah, Hadrian's
so
cool.
Good.
And he's the wrong species. Did you know that?
I know. I love that.
We were not going to say anything more about that. You're going to have to watch the film.
But wasn't there something on the... Wasn't there a message board on the Force.net, something about Niobe, and someone came to you and was
that
looking to see if it was your fault?
Okay.
Tell that story.
Okay, I guess there was... It was on the chat room, actually. There are a bunch of people talking about something about how they all love Niobe to a certain degree, and that's all the farther we'll go. And Nick,
let's just put it this way. You can love Niobe, but you shouldn't
love
Niobe.
So anyways, so Nick comes to me and says, I heard that people were talking about this on the chat room. And I'm like, yeah, what do you mean? And he goes, well, you. I'm like, no, not me. I have morals. I have ethics, dude. You know.
No, you don't. You just didn't get a chance to start it. That's all.
Well, yeah, that too. But But no.
What are morals?
I was totally innocent.
Just take a second.
What?
Go ahead.
Take a second. She's a beautiful woman, she's very talented, and you, Chris, you've got nothing but professional respect for her, correct? Right?
Oh my god, that is so funny. I'm gonna go cry. That was really good.
And that's why this is only a radio show.
Man.
So you didn't have to see the look on my face. Anyways... We got our...
Chris has got one dirty little mind.
Oh,
hey!
It's getting late.
It's getting late.
Really,
and we need to wrap up, man.
Digital Llama After Dark.
Should I get my 1-800 commercial?
Oh, you guys have watched way too many taxi cab people.
Oh.
She's going to hate us. She's going to come on the
woman.
Next show and...
Gonna!
Yeah, no.
She was on the show with us once.
Yeah, I'm like, she's going to block you guys from
anyways,
getting
near. Let's talk
again.
To Nick afterwards, and she's like, I'm going to have to talk to those
orders.
Bloody Americans.
Anyways.
Wankers.
Anyways, let's wrap this up. I got a little bit of information
for
everyone.
Do Australians even say wankers?
No, actually they don't. I don't think so.
I don't know.
Maybe they're a dingo.
A dingo.
Maybe
dingo.
Okay. Dingo ate your baby or whatever.
Oh, there you go.
They yelled at me for my Land Down Under reference, so.
Yeah. I'm not even attempting.
Bollocks, let's leave that alone.
Okay, anyways.
I'm using a lot of British terms.
Leave
today,
some information for people, digitalama.com, as if you already didn't know if you're listening to the radio show. The formula will be out June 1st, no matter what.
Please, God, please.
Yeah, please.
Be done.
Cedar,
our trailer.
Yeah.
You get to see Steve Phelan.
Oh, God, it's a horrible... No, don't.
Steve Phelan,
whatever.
Okay, no.
Little editing genius.
June 1st.
Oh.
June 1st, Marion High School Auditorium, 7 p.m. The formula premieres. Be there. We've got people coming in from all around. Michael Scott, our effects guy, is going to be there. We will be there.
Yeah, and for those of you who can't travel to Iowa, you can just go to
theforce.net. Yeah.
And
that
get
too.
The movie.
Okay. Nathan, where can people download the preview of Second Strike?
Yes, Second Strike, located at www.starwars.com/timeline/2S. That's Star Wars with a Z, not an S.
Excellent.
So it's www.starwarswithaz.com/S. Man, that's a long URL address, man.
Adam from... Yeah. For all you sheeps out there, adamfilms.com, Celebration 2's May 3rd, we'll be there in spirit, I guess, anyways. The Forrest.net's going to have a booth. We're going to have our trailers playing there, as far as I understand it, so that's going to be very cool. So anyways, that should wrap it up for us. On our next show, we are going to have a guest, Mr. Dave McComber from Duality, will be joining us on our next show.
Awesome.
It's going to be
looking
very
forward.
Cool. We're going to talk about Duality, and we finally get to find out why they're spinning the sabers so much.
Because they like
Because they can.
Yeah, they can. Anyways.
Hey, Nathan, I just wanted to thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you very much.
Cool having you on the show.
And you have a lovely voice.
Ooh, thank you.
Okay, for myself, I'm Chris Hanel, Steve Phelan, A. Paterka, Rebecca Paterka, Justin Whitlock in absentia, and Nathan Butler in Indiana. This is Digital Lumber Radio signing out, and good night.
Bye, guys.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go.
Digital
Lumber Radio. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. I hate to leave you, but I really must say, good night, sweetheart. Good night.
And you wonder why they don't get paid for this.
Everybody, this